You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say? What the heck is repartee?
You know, I couldn't tell you today, Greg, after 5 days in the polar vortex.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Paget, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Out in New Brighton, the thought does frighten that berries are no longer sweet. And skip the depot, go where we go. Southeast Long Lake hides the treat. When in line with Divine, large trees pass the fine. Head west off the parkway. After 10 steps in, look left, ignore din. The puck's at your feet, on display. Drop to the grounds with hands feel away. An ID, two cottonwood leaves. These have heft, though, and make a pouch faux. Find and slow pokes will grieve. That was the final clue of the 2019 St. Paul Winter Carnival medallion hunt that I just spent the last 12 days trekking in this polar vortex, which I was right on top of where this clue was pointing. But I did not find the medallion this year. I did not live up to my name. So you do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't do. I'm a treasure hunter. And I tried to live up to that name. But I didn't come through this year.
A hunter doesn't necessarily imply that you succeeded. Just attempt.
I hunted. But one day I will find this medallion. But yes, I was out there all week in this. Eric met me on the absolute worst day to try his first night of treasure hunting and didn't go over too well.
Worst moment, too. And I thought I was okay because I was working outside for most of the day.
It's brutal. So
it was that Tuesday temperature plummet.
Yeah, I know. It would just go down a degree every 10 minutes that day. But the medallion was found at Long Lake Regional Park in New Brighton. I had been there pretty much the entire 2 weeks, and we were right on the spot where it was found. But shout out to all the treasure hunters who trekked in through this, no matter what the weather conditions were. We're out there day and night, hose to the ground, looking, digging through leaves. Shout out to my crew, Team Irish Cream, and my dad Mike, and Schwabi, and TJ, Brianna, Polly, Jeff. We got our name, Team Irish Cream, because 1 year, my dad and my Uncle Paul were standing on top of the medallion, arguing about where to go, and eventually they dropped their Bailey's bottles where they were, and that year, the medallion was found under the Bailey's bottle. So it's been a running joke about our Team Irish Cream in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. They write about it every year. Like this year, they mentioned us twice for explaining treasure hunting terminology, and one of it was trailing, where you're digging up other people's dug-up spots, and how it, 1 year it was found under the Bailey's bottle. So it's been a tradition that Team Irish Cream always drinks Bailey's when on the hunt. But I no longer drink alcohol, so straight-up espresso for me. But, man, it was fun. It was a blast. It was so much fun getting acclimated to that tundra weather. And now the rest of the winter is a breeze for me. I mean, it's going to be a nice, cool spring from here on out for me. It's my skin has just gotten so thick and tough from it. But
yeah, it's calloused all over.
Mm-hmm. Man, it was a fun hunt. But if you're a treasure hunter, have any experience in the St. Paul Winter Carnival medallion hunts, I'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. But we're also going to be talking about yesterday was Opioid Awareness Day at the state capitol, which I attended and attended the committee hearings. And I am very happy to announce that the opioid stewardship bill has passed committee and will be going to the Minnesota State House floor. So that is great news. I'll talk about the experiences, everything I saw there. I'm also going to talk about a lab rat genocide that occurred because of the government shutdown. So this show, Thursdays with the Fellas, has really become a voice for the fringes of society. We're sticking up for the junkies, the heroin addicts, the opioid addicts, and then the rats, the lab rats of all that. I'll get into what all this means later in the show. But lots planned. Also, big win for my Indivisible group locally, and I want to talk about the importance of organizing and how you can make a difference. But you have to have a group of people, strength in numbers, show up, know what's going on. But we had a huge win this week in our city, and I'll get into that later. But it looks like we have a caller who wants to talk about the treasure hunt. It is Alex in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas, really? Alex, are you on the line?
The St. Paul Winter Carnival is a false flag. It's a red herring to utilize the New World Order to control the weather.
Whoa, okay. Alex, I'm not following what you're talking about.
You are pawns of the Obama postmodernist communist plot to test a research program by the U.S. Air Force. Not the good Air Force, but the Antifa globalist rowdy thug militia. HARP. It's HARP.
HARP? HARP?
High Frequency Active Royal Research Program. Kokona, Alaska. The St. Paul Winter Carnival Medallion Hunt is a ploy to weaponize the weather against good, hard-working patriots. They dig for days in a polar vortex. The mind-controlling radio waves get to people who wouldn't normally shovel their houses to dig for a red herring medallion. It's covered in trash.
But Alex, hold on. This is a ploy from the government? I mean, I've been doing this treasure hunt for years. You're saying it's a ploy.
Your governor, Jesse Ventura, showed the truth. The government is using the site to manipulate the weather, to bombard people with mind-controlling radio waves. The only solution, Brain Force. Brain Force Plus. Flip the switch. Supercharge your state of mind. The only way to protect yourself from the waves. Take the red pill.
Whoa. Wait. So the radio waves, they're controlling the weather in our minds, and this is causing us to go out treasure hunting and digging? I mean, you're right. I don't usually even shovel my house, but I'll dig for days for this medallion. So, I mean, you might have something there.
Well, we got Survivor Tonics. Protect yourself from the Soros puppet masters. We got Snoo CBD oil. InfoWars OxyContin.
OxyContin? You, what?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Makes my ears ring.
It makes your ears ring?
That's only available on our blockchain. Tear down the Federal Reserve for Onion Bitcoin. Protect yourself from the NSA spying. InfoWars, OxyContin.
Hold on. Come off for a second. Eric, check quick. Is that a private line? Is it blocked on the caller ID at all?
Yeah, it's encrypted.
I got a feeling we're talking to Alex Jones.
The conspiracy theorist?
Yeah, Alex in Austin, Texas.
I thought he was making a lot of sense so far.
I mean, this is fascinating. All right, turn him back on again.
We're talking to Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson, the Minnesota Progressive Liberty.
Wait. Hold, Alex. This is Alex Jones. Are you using my show as a platform?
www.infowars.com. Hear the truth. St. Paul Winter Carnival is weaponizing the weather. HARP.
Cut him off. Jesus Christ. Man, I knew it was rough for Alex Jones these days. I mean, he got deplatformed, but he's using our airwaves now.
He's really stretching.
Oh, man. Oh, man, he pays attention. I mean, I wouldn't put it past the...
Having a narrow mindset.
The Winter Carnival and HARP. I mean, I know about HARP, the conspiracy that the weather's controlled by the government, but this all has to do with the St. Paul Winter Carnival? This is the example? Wow. It might make sense. Well, let's take a break on that note. But I'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rev, blah, 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 right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333. Woo, woo, woo.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Yes, indeed, Alan. This is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here for your Thursdays with the fellas.
Yeah, it's crazy how Alan comes in every day to do that.
Yeah, I know. He's a
Thanks,
trooper.
Alan.
He's a trooper. He could be retired, but man, he's still on the mic, giving it his A game, crushing it on the mic. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. Love to hear from you. We had a very special caller. We had Alex Jones join us earlier, and that was a trip. I'm still kind of recovering from that. But back to a normal note, March 2nd, Saturday, March 2nd, is the Blue State Ball. I'm very excited for it. Tom Hartman will be headlining, and all the AM950 personalities will be there. It's a great way to celebrate the blue wave and destroying Trump and the Republicans in the election, the midterms. We put in a lot of work, so let's kick back. Let's celebrate. Let's dance. Me and Eric got new track suits for it. I got a new blue suit. I'm going to be making costume changes during the Blue State Ball. I'm very excited for it. And Tom Hartman, I'm thrilled. I've been listening to Tom Hartman a lot more lately, and he really has a great perspective. The guests he has on, like he has Dr. Richard Wolff, the economist, on every week, who's a Marxist economist. So I had seen on our AM950 Facebook page people. One guy, I'm not going to say people, one guy was criticizing Tom Hartman, calling him a neoliberal, but it's like Tom Hartman's been there forever pushing progressive talk radio. And that was really how Bernie Sanders got any sort of national prominence, was being a regular guest on Tom Hartman's show. So I'm super excited to, because I didn't get a chance last year to really talk with him at all, but I've gotten a lot more into Tom Hartman personally. So I am thrilled about him being at the Blue State Ball. But a big thing that occurred yesterday in my life, in all of our lives, it really touches a lot of people, was Opioid Awareness Day at the state capitol. And I mean, to sum it up, it was powerful. I mean, they had speakers in the rotunda that started at about noon, and Prince's cousin spoke, along with Shelley Elkington, who joined us last week, who, oh my God, she had the most powerful speech and then testimony in committee. She is a wonderful person. She is such a hard worker on this issue. And
yeah, it's really inspirational hearing her discuss her involvement in the issue.
And so she spoke not only as one of the speakers in the rotunda, but then at 2:30 in the afternoon, we moved to committee to have the hearing on the bill, and we packed the committee room. We all had these Hold Pharma Accountable t-shirts that I'm wearing right now, and the room was packed, and Shelley was one of the first testifiers, and I was in tears when I was listening to her speak. I was right behind her watching all of the representatives completely engaged. Some were crying. I know Heather Edelson started crying during her testimony. And at the end of it, this guy gets up and he walks out. And as he's walking out, he yells, "You got to be heartless if you don't support this after hearing that." And I was like, I wanted to just start going, yeah, but I'm like, well, that's not the time and place, not the time and place right now. But I'm happy to announce that the Opioid Stewardship Act passed committee, so it will be heading to the floor of the House. The Senate, we already know we have the votes for this. It's going to pass overwhelmingly in the Senate. However, last year, the reason this bill didn't get through was it never got a hearing on the House. So Kirk Dowd stopped it from ever even reaching the floor, even though there's tremendous bipartisan support for this bill. It was blocked. But now with Melissa Hortman as the speaker, who I actually spoke with today, and we'll be hearing after the next break a bit about this bill and how she is going to get this through. So a lot of optimism, because this specific bill has gone through three iterations over the past 3 years and has not been able to be passed. So these people who organized this event have been working on this for 3 years. And this is only the tip of the iceberg of what we have to do. To me, the bill is incredibly important. However, what's more important is just the symbolism behind the bill and acting on this issue. This is by far only the first start of addressing this issue. But if we don't start rewriting some of these rules and getting adequate funding, which $20 million, which they're asking for in this bill, is pennies. It's pennies to the pharmaceutical companies who 100% are directly responsible for this epidemic and how it is occurring in this country. But I have a lot of hope that this is going to finally get done this year, and that Minnesota will be able to lead on this issue. I have a lot of optimism. This is going to be, the epidemic is going to be addressed at the state level, because all the federal government does is allocate money to the states to deal with this issue. So Minnesota is going to be the state that acts first on this. I mean, there might be some others that are also pushing this, but I just know with our history, with our recovery community, and just the progressive thought we put into addressing this issue already and leading other states, we're going to be the state that others model after. So this is an incredibly important first step to getting that done. And I'm very happy that passed committee, and it'll be on the floor of the House soon. But just a wonderful day all around. It's incredibly important that if there's any specific issue to you, that you find out how to get involved, how to get to the state capitol, because there's really a rally every day for a cause that people care about. There's something going on in that rotunda every day. I mean, I get invites on Facebook, and if I had the time, could attend for all these issues that I care about, basically, virtually every single day. But the importance of it is these decisions get made in small room committees by a handful, maybe a dozen people, and then they really dictate what the laws are. So when there is a lobby against, or when there's a visible fulfillment of people lobbying for an issue, that puts pressure on politicians to act certain ways.
Yeah, never underestimate the like effect of making a nuisance of yourself.
Mm-hmm. The squeaky door gets the grease, and that is how it works down there. I mean, the Capitol's greasy place. But that was the other eye-opening thing, was watching this committee hearing, was that it was 95% testimony of people for the bill and how they've been personally affected by the opioid epidemic and how this bill will help address it. But there was one who had the balls to do this and testify in behalf of the pharmaceutical distributors being against this bill. And it was the most cut, dry, corporate speak. But what scared me was watching a couple of the like Republican members of the committee and how engaged they got with that. Like, how just corporations should have no responsibility that these things just occur. Social Darwinism. And it was seeing that corporate little lawyer guy testify was like, oh my God. So this is really what we're up against. This is, and you know, that's where the money's pouring in, because there's no money coming in from the opioid awareness lobby. It's all human power. It's human capital. But the capitalist interest of the pharmaceutical companies are apparent, and that money talks to them. So that this is always what it is. You're up against what is the will of the people and what is the corporate sway that can occur. But it all happens in small rooms of 12 or so people. But really eye-opening. Well, we're going to take a break before I do this next issue, but I want to talk about something that got no coverage in any of the mainstream media, but a rat genocide that occurred because of the government shutdown. So we'll talk about that when we return on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. Give us a call and we'll be right back.
This is Jennifer Ogren, account executive at AM 950, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee?
This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with House Speaker Melissa Hortman. Each day, we'll check in with Speaker Hortman to find out what's going on at the state legislature.
Speaker Hortman, could you give us a preview of what to expect this week at the Capitol?
Well, it's been a pretty exciting week here. This week, we have passed the opioid bill and paid family leave. So really huge day yesterday at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Yes, that opioid bill, I was actually there at the committee hearings, and I'm thrilled that it passed. But what are you thinking? Because last year it failed in the House. What are its chances to pass this year?
Well, you know, it never even really got going in the House. The Minnesota Senate passed a pretty good bill off the Senate floor. I want to say the vote was 62-5. And we didn't even get a chance as House members to vote on opioids and prescription drugs. So this year, the fact that the bill is moving quickly, it's one of our first out of the gates, and that members will get a chance to vote to protect Minnesotans is a huge step forward. We're really optimistic we will be able to do good work with the Republican-led Senate on this issue.
With the opioid stewardship bill, what are its biggest hurdles?
Well, I think that it will probably get through with a very strong DFL vote. You know, last year, the pharmaceutical industry held sway with the Republican leaders and the Republican members, and it wasn't even able to be heard. So the fact that the Republican folks who are indebted to the pharmaceutical industry are no longer running the place is really what has made the change.
That was your daily legislative update on AM 950 with House Speaker Melissa Hortman. Each day we'll check in with Speaker Hortman to find out what's going on at the state legislature.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show, it has become increasingly clear to everybody, even Republicans, that Benedict Donald's an insane lunatic and he doesn't know what he's doing. What are we all going to do about it now? Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, this is Brett's grandmother. You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Yes, you are on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. First Days with the Fellas on Minnesota's Progressive Repartee. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. You can also listen at am950radio.com. or email us at comment@am950radio.com. But a story that I found appalling, and I really got no coverage really anywhere. I'm surprised that I even heard this or that this got on my radar. I saw it from Twitter from a scientist directly. But on Monday, because it was the first day that the government was reopened the first business day, federally funded scientists returned to their laboratories and found all their lab rats and mice were dead because they were prevented from even entering their facilities during the shutdown. So you had a complete rat genocide that occurred because of this shutdown. And I know people's immediate thoughts might be, well, they're lab rats, that they shouldn't even have lab rats to begin with, that's cruel. But as a person, I fancy myself as kind of a rat expert. Most of my adult life, I've had pet rats. Right now is a rare time that I don't own rats. I have 3 guinea pigs instead. I started rescuing guinea pigs. But the rats are incredible creatures. They have identical stomachs to humans, and they have very similar brains. So the way that like federally funded scientists would study on rats is very humane, actually. And I would be the first one to call this out if it wasn't. But the lab rats' lives serve an incredible purpose for advancing civilization and society itself. So these lab rats typically have lives that are far better than just your average rat in the wild or
feral rat.
Yeah, or bred rats, because a lot of rats are bred to just be snake food. But these rats are taken care of. These scientists are bonded and care about these animals. And most of the experiments are very minor things and just monitoring how they react, because they are just incredibly close to human beings and their biology. It's incredible. And owning them, I witnessed it firsthand, and how just intelligent and how you can feed them anything. They can eat anything we eat. It's so much fun having pet rats. For these rats and mice to die of dehydration and starvation is far, far crueler than however their lives would have taken place in the laboratory.
Yeah, it's completely pointless, too. At least in the laboratory, those deaths are maybe accomplishing something.
Yes, and so the fact that all these rats died sets back all of the research that was occurring for months. And now they'll have to get new laboratory rats. But another shutdown's looming 2 weeks away. So what I did, and I haven't heard back yet, but I wrote my representative, Dean Phillips, that if the government shuts down again, can we include a provision that allows someone to feed any laboratory animals? Because it's ridiculous how it's written that these people can't even enter the facilities to take care of any of the animals that are in captivity of federally funded scientists.
Yeah, or any of the time-sensitive experiments, I'm sure, also get affected.
Yeah, I mean, this...
Scientists don't want to flush all their work down the drain.
Mm-hmm. And this is just one consequence of this shutdown over a tantrum. But I think it's important to note all the different layers of this and hear the actual stories of what's occurring, how life is transforming over this shutdown.
I'm curious, do you know of any other laboratory animals that were affected?
Yeah, I don't, because the rats really just caught my attention so much. Cause,
it's about the rats.
Yeah. Eric knows how big of rat lover I am, but for everyone listening, they mean a lot to me. I am a lover of rodents, and I'd like to rehabilitate their image and that rats aren't a derogatory term anymore. I always love the meme that gets shared where they go, Americans, the last four letters, I can. Republican, last four letters, I can. Democrats, last four letters, rats. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm a rat, because rats are phenomenal creatures. So here on Thursdays with the Fellas, like I said, you always get a voice standing up for the fringes of society. We touched on the people struggling through the opioid epidemic, the huge stigma attached to that, and then sticking up for the rats. This is the only place in media you're going to find anyone so devoted to these two groups of the fringes of society. But I think it's important. If this government shuts down again, I want an outcry to just take care of any of these animals that are there. It's such a small thing. I mean, come on. How is it even written that people can't enter the facilities during this to just take care of animals, to take care of life? I think it's absurd. And it's very sad. That one got me angry. It got me emotional. But that's my personal connection to it. And I think that's how we should look at the shutdown, is the personal consequences that you feel in your life and how you're affected, what inconveniences you occur, what emotions you run into. And this is all for a border wall that's supposed to protect us.
Yeah, I'm looking,
a border wall.
I'm looking it up now, and I kind of in my mind pictured, you know, a handful of rats, dozens of rats. It was 300,000 rats.
That's what I said. Rat genocide occurred.
Wow.
I'm glad you got that number, because I couldn't find that. It's very hard to find any information about this, but an absolute genocide to animals over this tantrum. But frustrating. So I touched on this as well, the power of organizing, and a huge win that occurred in my life and another thing I witnessed. Today we're getting kind of personal on this show, but on Monday, I attended a city council meeting to decide whether we would have a special election in Chaska for the two vacant city council seats. Now, the city council is set up with 5 voting members. So if you do the math, 2 members that would so 2 members plus the mayor would be a majority for every vote. So what we were trying to do is have a special election for these seats rather than having the mayor appoint the 2 people, because the mayor appointing 2 people just means anything the mayor wants to do, the mayor gets through. So there was a lot of resistance to this. Resistance is the wrong word. It was an uphill battle because it was a foregone conclusion that the mayor would appoint, because state statute says that in occurrences like this where there's vacancies, the mayor has the power to appoint. But this was an unusual case where there was 2 open seats. So the mayor appointing has complete control in that circumstance. And half of the city of Chaska would not be represented by by their votes. They would not have chosen their representatives for an elective office. And
Chaska's not a small city either.
No, it's a very wealthy city. Yeah. So the city council has a lot of control. So that was one of the issues, that a special election would cost $8,000 to $10,000. And that was something the mayor was kind of pushing. We had in Chaska a little bit of a letter to the editor war. And the mayor would be able to write in the Chaska Herald his views on this and how the special election would cost $8,000 to $10,000. But we pointed out that... we didn't point out, actually, the city attorney pointed out that $8,000 to $10,000 is pennies to the Chaska tax fund. What they have, that this really means nothing, and it shouldn't have been an issue for deciding whether to do this or not. The other thing that the mayor's team was pushing out there is that special elections have very low voter turnout. In a regular election, Chaska has about 70 to 80% of the people, actually, residents, vote in for city council and in their elections. We have very high voter turnout, but a special election only gets about 10% of the residents. But 10% is better than one person in deciding who's going to be on the city council. And having a diversity of voices rather than the one person deciding, his 2 cronies come in. So we met, we pushed on this hard. We were on social media, we were writing letters to the editor. Like I said, we showed up to city council and we went to the hearings and we testified, and we swayed one of the council members. One was already on our team. It only took 2 votes to decide this. This is how small these things are. When the more you get involved, the more you realize it's just 2 people, or just a couple people. So I don't want to say 2, because it's just a couple people who decide, and based on whatever resistance they have to them. What swayed this decision was the fact that the entire city council chamber was packed full of people, and we were looking in the eyes of the council members. That put pressure on them. She had to determine whether she was going to vote against this no-brainer of a special election in front of all these people, and what consequences she would have to deal with if she made that decision to just hand it over to the mayor instead. So she made the right move. But again, just the power of having people showing up, that pressure is felt by the people who have the power to make a difference. So this was a huge win for democracy at the city level, because now wards 2 and 4 of Chaska are going to have representatives that are voted for. And to me, it wasn't important of getting a certain candidate or anything. We didn't have any candidates in mind. It was the principle that an elected position should be represented with an election. So I just want to say that everything is about lobbying power. Your power to organize and be a pain to whatever you want to call it, the establishment power, the special interest, lobbying. A comparison that I have is that's why we'll never get rid of pennies, copper pennies. We're never going to get rid of them because there's no competing interest to the copper lobby. I mean, pennies have outserved their usefulness.
Pennies are made of zinc now.
But, okay, the zinc... No, the copper lobby is still who pushes for pennies. I know about this. I don't know the makeup, but... or whether zinc and copper are related or whatever, but I know that the metal lobby is the one that keeps pennies in currency. There's no use for pennies anymore.
Yeah, there really is.
They have outserved their purpose. We've talked about this, but no one's going to take this as an issue. So it's just going to continue to remain because the only interest is the metal interest. And I'm not saying to care about the pennies. I'm just using the comparison. But when you have the interest of people in power and showing up and pushing for something, that's the only way to tilt the balance. So what we do is important. And I've been witnessing it a lot lately with the more that I get involved any way that I can for the things that I care about. And I know the people here care about a lot of things. Well, let's change things up. We got a call, one of my favorites, Mark from Fridley. Mark, what do you have for us for today? Mark, are you there?
That you love rodents.
Oh.
But I want to stick to the lab rat story, except in this case, military veterans were the lab rats we're talking about. And there was a recent appellate court decision, which means that the first court ruled against the veterans, and it has to do with Agent Orange in Vietnam. And the court ruled in favor of veterans that were from the Navy who were stationed offshore during the Vietnam War and developed health problems linked to the exposure of Agent Orange, the toxic chemical, you know, used by Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
And these people were lab rats. These were the people Henry Kissinger referred to as military men being dumb, stupid animals to exploit our foreign policy. And it took them this long to recognize that people that were not just military combatants, but people that were exposed to shipping and carrying and those exposed to aerosol dispersion offshore were subject to legal remedy. The problem is, and again, I served with a lot of people that served in Vietnam. The problem is that most of these people are now dead. So, those subject areas are what we need to talk about. And quick, if I could, I just want to bring up, there's a congressman who people would recognize. He's a Republican congressman. His name is Walter Jones. And he was a very strong advocate of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. In fact, he's the guy that was well known for renaming French fries, freedom fries.
Oh, because, yeah.
Okay, well, what people don't recognize is that guy did a 180. And by 2005, the 2003 invasion of Iraq, again, that Paul Wellstone gave such a strong speech for, Afghanistan, Iraq, wars, and staying out of it. By 2005, this guy did a complete reversal, and he became the Freedom Prize guy. Became one of the biggest and staunchest advocates of ending U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, and Yemen. Now, tragically, now he's got cancer, and he's dying. And one of the things that he said was that he called on President Bush in 2005 to apologize for misforming Congress to win the authorization for the 9/11 wars, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Pakistan. And he said, if I had known now what I know today, I would have voted for that resolution. And so you mentioned conspiracy theories, and this is no longer a conspiracy theory. If this congressman, who was one of the biggest proponents for the war based on the information that the government officials in the Bush administration provided to them to make a decision to attack countries that had no relationship to 9/11 whatsoever, and he did a complete 180. And we should, as a people, ask for more than an apology from the Bush administration, from Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, Powell, Condoleezza Rice. And again, there's no statute of limitations on murder and war crimes. And using our military men as lab rats, as has been the case, and it takes them this long to be recognized as being eligible for benefits because of their service and exposure to chemicals from the Vietnam War in the 60s.
Thank you, Mark, for the call. And I should note that tomorrow is a screening of the film Terror, with the T in parentheses, Era. And it's all about this war on terror. And Doug Padgett will be there. There is a keynote speaker and a forum on the film. It is occurring tomorrow, 5 to 9 p.m. at 125 Wiley Hall, 225 19th Avenue South in Minneapolis. To find out more, type in the NYSA initiative and at the Terror Film Screening and Panel on Facebook or Google.
How is NYSA spelled?
N-I-S-A. Okay. Good question. But we got to take a break, and we'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee, repertoire, repertoire. Something like that.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Total Dog Company is the destination dog food and gear store on the west side of the Twin Cities, with easy access off of 169. We have a growing group of loyal customers and increasing numbers of referrals from dog professionals and dog parents because we carry quality products, give sound advice, and are easy to do business with. Total Dog Company keeps up on the latest developments in dog nutrition and products. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Served 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Hello, humans! This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
It's the Repartee with your Thursdays with the fellas. Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We just got a couple minutes left. Phone number 952-946-6205. But the other big bill occurring here in Minnesota was the legalization and the expungement of records for marijuana. And I mean, you got to give credit to this one for the bill filing is HF 420.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's
that is just beautiful. So, and how these occur is that there's, this is the legislative aides typically are the ones that file it, and it's completely random numbers. So someone shifted around the papers so this would occur. Because this happened, I know that the opioid bill was HF 400, so they had 20... more than 20 bills lined up, and someone shifted the papers so it could be HF 420, which is beautiful. But the other interesting note on this is that my Republican senator was the co-sponsor of the Senate version of the bill, Senate File 619. And credit where credit is due. I talked about Scott Jensen on Monday on the repartee with Brett, and people have been giving me a lot of resistance, whether I'm being too nice on them. But if a Republican is there on an issue, we got to encourage them because they sway that Republican caucus to have more people come out. So it's a good thing that Scott Jensen signed on to this bill.
Yeah, we're not saying we endorse everything mm-hmm. he does, but props to him for this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I said. But a lot of people have been out there to, this week, and a lot of people came up to me and talked to me about this and disagreed with me. But Scott Jensen, him personally, he's there on a lot of the issues that we care about. He had the marijuana, the opioid bill, the gun reform, and he meets a lot of resistance in the Republican caucus because of that. So credit where credit is due is how I see it. But we just have a couple seconds left. Thank you for listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, with a Minnesota Progressive repartee this week. And I'm excited for the Blue State Ball March 2nd. Come party with us! We'll see you later. Tickets at am950radio.com. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive repartee. This is the end of our program, or the departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.